All transmitters to full, all receivers to boost. This is Novi Sad calling. This is Novi Sad calling. I repeat, this is Novi Sad calling.
Hej, hej, dakle, na vezi smo DJ Miguelito, emisija Ljudi iz podzemlja, neki 76. put po redu. Rekao bih, znate već šta vas očekuje, da ne dužim. U svakom slučaju imat ćemo goste večeras, prvi put internacionalne goste, dakle, spikat ćemo i na engleskom, ali onako bazičnom, ja kažem što se mene tiče, tarzanskom engleskom, razumet ćete vi to. U svakom slučaju pridružat će nam se nakon sledećeg bloka momci iz benda Grade 2, dakle oni sviraju sutra na Explosive Bini Exit festivala, onako malo kasnije da proverim kada tačno, dakle u 2.25, onako budite izdržljivi, isplatit će se. Isto da kažem, kad u pitanju Explosive Bina, blizu nje i Explosive Pub, tamo ću ja sutra vrtiti muziku između ostalih, pa naletite i tamo da popričamo po koju. U svakom slučaju, da se vratimo mi na muziku koju smo slušali, dakle počeli smo sa Hivesima, švedski band, izbacuju novi album Good Samaritan. Slušali smo naslovnu numeru, volili smo onaj njihov album Veni Vidi Viši, koji su izdali 2000-ih za Burning Heart Records, kultni album. Po ovome bih rekao onako da isto nas očekuje jedan ok album. Idemo na još jedan blok noviteta dok nam se ne pridruže gosti. Idemo malo na dešavanja u Njujorku. Chrome X su izbacili novo izdanje, znate ono o čemu se radi, postoji dva Chrome X-a, jedan sa Harley Flanaganom, drugi sa John Josephom, ono, cijela sapunica je, ono, se tu odvijala. Mene to baš previše ne zanima, ali moram priznati da je Harley Flanagan kreativni lik, eto, izbacio je i nove pesme, dakle tri nove pesme koje izlaze kao EP za Victory Records. EP naziva Don't Give In, imate to i na YouTube-u i na, ima i da se skine, tako da ovaj, ako niste poslušali, poslušajte, slušat ćemo sa tog albuma pesmu No One's Victim. I što se tiče New Yorka, u pitanju novi band The Take, likovi svirali po raznim hardcore bendovima od Madballa do Biohazarda, ali sad sviraju neki, tako da kažem, himnični street punk, izbacuju novo izdanje ovih dana, a slušat ćemo ih u obradi starog njujorškog benda The Press. To je prvi njujorški pravi oi band, ne onako hardcore band koji je imao po neku oi pesmu, nego baš onako pravi oi punk band. I The Press je jako bitan band za celu ono Skinhead Against Racial Prejudice priču, scenu 80-ih, tako da Take obrađuje njihovu pesmu Revolution Now. Dakle, idemo na New York, pa se onda vraćamo u studio i gde započinjemo priču sa Grade 2. Ajmo.
Zemlja.
Zemlja.
Ok, dakle, oslušali smo i novitete što se tiče njujorške scene, Harleyve Chromaxe i band The Take, a idemo sada na jedan band koji će sutra svirati u našem gradu. Pričat ćemo na engleskom, ali ajde ono, da napravim uvod na srpskom, da se ne žele neki koji će reći da nisu ništa razumeli. Dakle, band Great Two, mladi britanski band, onako nastali kao tad su baš svi bili onako u teenage dobu i onako predstavili, to jest predstavljali su baš onako da kažem malo neobičnu pojavu na zastareloj ovoj punk sceni. Skrenuli pažnju na sebe kvalitetnom muzikom i uglavnom sada predstavljaju jedan od najznačajnijih ovih punk bendova na današnjoj sceni. U svakom slučaju, da ja ne dužim, prelazimo brzo na razgovor. Razgovor, sad I switched to English pretty earlier. Ok. In front of me is a Sid, bass player and the vocalist of the band Great Two. Good evening.
Sid. How's it going? It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So this is your second time in Novi Sad, right?
That's right. We played last year in June at 2B Punk Festival.
Yeah, so, and the first time of playing on Exit Festival. You know.
That's right,
so,
yeah.
Okay, so probably there are some people who pretty know your band, but let's give some, you know, like basic information for people who are first time
of course.
For your name.
So we are Great Two. This is 6 years of the band this year. We started in 2013. We're from the Isle of Wight in the UK. For those who don't know, it's a tiny island at the south of the UK, just off of Portsmouth and Southampton. There's a, yeah, it's a holiday destination. Yeah. That's where we're from.
Yeah, that's, you know, usually, you know, the first question is about, tell me about first days of your band. But that Isle of
Wight,
yeah?
Yeah.
It's a... Okay, it's an exotic place, maybe not so interesting, but tell us something about that place. It sounds pretty isolated.
That's right.
UK.
It's basically a place for retirement. A lot of the people that live there have like over the age of 65, and it's a place to settle down and see out your final days kind of thing. But it's also a really popular holiday destination. We have like some of the nicest beaches in the UK, and through the summer months it's really busy. So in the summer it's a great place to live, but in the winter months there's not as much that really happens. It kind of dies out for five months of the year.
That, yeah.
So for us it's to be a local there, it's you're used to it, but it's an interesting place to live.
That place has some partly, how to say, history of the, maybe not alternative scene, but there was some pretty big festival, or something.
Yeah, the festival's still going, the Isle of Wight Festival. It's most famous for the one that was in the 70s. Was it the 70s? We had Jimi Hendrix, The Who, and The Doors play, and that was one of the biggest festivals ever recorded.
Yeah.
And the festival died out for quite a few years, and it started again, I'm actually not too sure when. Yeah, well, I'd say 2009, maybe a bit before that, and now it's more of a corporate festival. It still is a rock festival, like that is the predominant genre.
Yeah,
but it's not what it used to be.
Okay, that festival is a history, so you know, for you it was
that's our claim to fame.
Yeah, when you started, there were nothing happening in Isle of Wight. If I'm talking about alternative scene.
Not really. Like in terms of the music scene on the island, a lot of bands are pretty much just cover bands. They play the local pubs and the few venues that there are. But in terms of original music and to leave and to expand your following, it's really hard. Where we have the most expensive ferry crossing in the world for the distance, so to leave is it's hard as a musician.
For you, it's even pretty hard to play. To reach the London or the Manchester or some sort.
We got kind of lucky when we first started the band, and we was in touch with a punk band called Night of Treason, which were from Gosport. So where we live, the ferries go to Portsmouth and Southampton, and the town in between is called Gosport.
Portsmouth.
So there's another small ferry crossing, and there was a punk band from there. and they helped us out to leave the island and play our first ever show. So we had only played a few like pub shows with a few original songs, and then we was lucky enough to leave and expand like a fan base quite quickly, which is rare for where we live, and something that we're still very fortunate for.
Okay, later we'll talk about how you made all the contacts outside, with people outside of the island. But now we'll talk, because I want to also put some songs of your earlier releases, actually about your first EP.
Broken Youth.
Yeah, it's made in 2014.
2014. Yeah,
5 years
right.
ago. Like.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I wanted to ask you, how old were you when you started the band?
We were 15, 16? Oh, yeah. 14, 15, sorry, uh-huh.
Cool, like in old days.
Yeah. Looking back.
Yeah, like now Oi! Punk is mainly played by people of, middle-aged people.
Yeah.
And, it's not like anymore, like, it's not played by angry kids.
We were really young when we started the band.
Yeah, and your case is like in, original days. So, as we said, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I want to put one title song from that EP, Broken Youth, and then we will continue talk about the band. Okay, just a minute, because I'm putting from the computer. Sorry about that, amateurism. okay, let's just a second. Okay, let's go with a grade 2 Broken Youth, and after it we will continue to talk about the band, about their beginnings, and later about their tours and other things they are doing recently. Okay. Dakle, bili su to Grade 2, pesma Broken Youth, zaboravih ja da treba da pričam na engleskom. Okay, Sid, we were talking that in June this year was a
five years, yeah.
Yeah, of this EP.
Which and is we actually missed it. We was just talking while that song was playing. We totally forgot that it was 5 years since we released our first record. So we're amateurs, really.
Yeah. You need PR or something.
Yeah, maybe we do.
Okay. We are talking that your island, Isle of Wight, it's a pretty isolated and, you know, you're not in the middle of the happenings of the scene. You know, it's much harder for you to go to the plane in bigger cities in UK. But somehow, from your beginning, you got into contact with important labels of the scene. You very soon start to play on a big festivals and to play with to share the stage with some of the iconic bands. How, you know, the kids from some island made all that, you know, how it was going?
It's still very surreal until this day that we're doing what we're doing, really. Like I said earlier, where we're from, to get to the point where we're at is it's quite unheard of. And especially in our genre, to be the band that was able to break out and to play with some of our favorite bands was, well, a dream come true in some aspects. To reach out to certain labels, to have a record to even come out on vinyl was insane for us. And the more and more we do, it's still surreal. Like, we don't take anything for granted what we're doing.
Yeah.
If we're able to play a new place, if we're able to play out of the UK, it's amazing. We take every moment as it comes. When we released a set of demos before Broken Youth, but we deleted them from everywhere because the songs are really bad and we don't want anyone to hear them anymore. But we was in a fortunate position where Contra Records from Germany reached out to us and they heard the songs, and we spoke with them and we said to them, look, we don't want these songs released because these songs are really bad, so give us a few more months and we'll try come up with some new songs. And about 6 months later we released the first record, and it wasn't until we were kind of playing a few more shows that it kicked in what was really happening. And even now, to be honest, that to be traveling the world playing music is insane.
Yeah, and you cooperate now even with some other labels. Like, do you have a release on a Pirate Press, or they're just...
We reissued two records with Pirate Press and Demons Run Amok from Europe.
Also US label, right?
No, they're a German label.
A German label. Huh?
But they're actually more of a heavy metal and hardcore label. So we kind of tried to touch base with a new group of people, see if it would work and if our music would be something they would be into. So far, so good.
Yeah. Also, that cooperation with Contra Records, I would say it's very important to you. Like,
Of course, they are our beginning. They helped us out for 5 years. We released, I think, five records with them, three EPs, and three EPs, one album, I think. And then there was Mainstream View, which was like the collection of everything.
Discogs says the same.
Yeah.
I think.
God, my memory's awful.
Okay. Then you said that you were like not satisfied with that Demos. Okay. Broken Youth EP. It's a pretty solid, I would say, for the beginning. But somehow I would say that your first album, Mainstream View, you know, it was turning point.
Yeah, so Mainstream View was originally only a 10-inch. It was more of an EP with only 8 songs. But we released it with all of the previous EPs. So we made it more of a collection. And that record was like our point of, here we are. This is where we're at this point. And that was kind of when our songwriting started to evolve from that point. We had released that record. We knew this is where we were at, and we were gigging a lot more, playing a lot more shows. So then from that point we sat down, we wrote a lot more songs, and between Mainstream View and Break the Routine, that was the turning point.
Probably the tours and the shows were also important to you, but I think talking about Mainstream View, it's important to getting attraction
Yeah, of course.
But Break the Routine, musically, and talking about production, it was a step, not one step, but it was, you know, the difference is obvious, I think.
We were the kind of band that rushed a lot of things in the studio. Mm-hmm. So if we had 4 days, we would make sure we were finished in 4 days. Mm-hmm. Record 8 songs in 4 days, mix. Mm-hmm. Mainstream View wasn't even mastered. Yeah. Them songs are only mixed.
Yeah.
So that's one thing to note. Anybody that listens to those songs, they were never mastered. And then we learned a lot more. We spoke with a lot more bands, and it was like, so how did you get to this point? What do you do when you record? Started to take a lot more notes from the bigger bands. It's like, okay, this is how we should be doing it.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to the point of recording Break the Routine, we had a lot more understanding of how things worked in the studio. Not to a high level, but we just understood a bit more. So we took a lot more time.
Yeah. To find your sound.
Yeah, so like then we knew where we were at. And then, that was where I would say we knew what we wanted to sound like, and we had discovered our actual sound at that point.
Yeah, and I heard that you're also recording a new album soon or something.
The new album is finished.
I didn't know.
It's not released, but it's finished. We had the honor of working with Tim Armstrong
from Rancid.
In December. So we flew out to America in December and played a string of 5 shows with the Old Firm Casuals and the Lower Class Brats. But we actually stayed in America for the whole month, and we tried to keep it under wraps as much as possible that we were there. And we was in the studio for a total of 12 days, and we tracked a whole new album with Tim, and that should be out some point this year, and it's coming out on Hellcat Records.
Hellcat?
It's coming out on Hellcat,
nice,
yeah.
Nice. So you're making a step forward, not only in production-wise, but also I think that you'll get new audience as well.
Indeed, yeah.
Okay, it's even news for me. I guarantee.
It's not properly announced yet. This is a lot.
Yeah. Okay, then this time we will listen to 2 of your songs. Like we were talking about that Mainstream View.
Yeah.
So we will listen to the last song of that release, Be the Better One.
Yeah.
And after it, we will listen Medina Snake from
Break the Routine.
Both songs are equally good, but probably our listeners will find some difference in the approach that
course.
We were talking about. Okay, let's listen to 2 more songs of Great 2.
When will you finish?
Dakle, slušali smo dve pesme benda Grade 2 naših gostiju. Jedna je bila sa njihovog prvog regularnog, da kažem, LP-a, Mainstream View pesma Be the Better One, pa smo onda prešli na njihovo poslednje, za sada poslednje izdanje Break the Routine, pesma Medina Snake, i mi nastavljamo priču sa Sidom, basistom i pevačem ovog benda. Ok, Sid, now, at the moment, we have a guy from the UK as a guest, and who knows when it's going to be the next time. So, please, tell us what you think about the current UK scene. People always tell that, you know, the punk in UK was the main thing in the late 70s, 80s, and after it, like mainland Europe and US took off all the attention. So, tell us what you think.
We've been quite lucky, and we've been able to see quite a lot of the UK scene, from like the really small bar shows to the really big shows. We've played with bands that started in the 80s and the legendary bands. We've played with all the new bands, and we've had the opportunity to tour with like big, not arena bands, but bands that can fill a few thousand people. I'd say the UK scene is very picky. People are set in their ways. A lot of people will, if they like a band, that's the band they like, and they don't want to know a lot of new things.
Yeah.
So if we play with an old band, they will be there for that band and that band only.
So like similar to Novi Sad, I think.
maybe it's just how it is everywhere, but we see it a lot more when we're home.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Like, if people like that and that's what they want to do, then that's how it is. Yeah. And if we have the opportunity to try and win them as a fan of ours, then we'll... Yeah. Give it our best shot.
And the scene, I suppose, is pretty centralized around London and bigger cities, or maybe not?
Well, yeah, we're from the south, so we're close to a lot of cities, but they're like B cities. They're big, but not that big. So you've got London, Manchester, Leeds, and Glasgow. Like, that's the main four. If a band comes over, like, they will always have them four shows. But where we're from, we always try to play Brighton, Southampton, not even as far as Plymouth, which is way west, and not a lot of bands go down there. You've got Bristol as well. So the scene is like, there is one in every city, but it's, a lot of bands miss it. So like, one of our main things is we want to try and reach everyone. We don't want to have to get someone to travel from Plymouth to London, which is like a 6-hour trip. If we can get there and get people to the show, we're going to play there. So there is still a scene. It's just like, you've got to find it, and you've got to know the people that can get the people to the show.
Yeah. And talking about London, what was my impression? I weren't there, but I read about that. Because the London is a melting point of the, you know, people of all origins, you know, nations, similar. So I think when I see the bands, at least there's a, I don't know, in every second band there's a Polish guy or Italian guy, you know, and
it's
concert organizers.
It's a very multicultural place. So there's always, that's always going to happen. But I think it's cool. It gives the band a different dynamic. So then they're able to play a lot of other places, and if that works for them, that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it sounds really cool. And also, what I want to ask you, you're wearing the T-shirt of the Slaves, the band who played the last year, previous year, in an Exit festival, and also the band who played Exit last year was Idols. And there's also in a Britain band like Fontaines D.C. from Dublin, new band. And okay, musically different, but it has similar spirits, Sleep for Mods or something like that.
There is a punk element. All four.
Before, we are talking about deeper underground punk scene. But
this is now mainstream stuff.
Yeah, something's happening in alternative scene in the UK. Well, what do you think about that scene?
Well, when it was in the 80s, the political climate was really bad, and when it went bad, the arts thrived. And I think that's basically what's happening again. The political climate in the UK is now like an all-time low. Nobody knows what's happening with Brexit, with everything. So now the arts are now thriving again, and technically punk is making a comeback, just in a new form, and Slaves, Idols, Sleaford Mods are the ones that are like paving the way for the new generation of what punk is in 2019.
So you think it's a positive thing that's happening with the you know, success of these bands?
Yeah, definitely. If there's another band that are bringing an alternative vibe to the forefront of the UK, that's only going to benefit us as a alternative band.
Yeah, that was also my next question. You think it could help to bands?
Definitely. It changes the pace of the radio play. So the bands that are now being played will be to a similar style of the ones that are at the top, like Slaves and Idols. So like the guitar, rock, punk, everything will now be played a lot more than it would have a few years ago. So it's only a positive effect, in my opinion.
Nice, nice. So, okay, now we're let's continue talking with how the, I say
back
that.
To the underground scene.
Dark underground. So, what's your impression about the bands and scene at the moment? Now, we were talking about the cities previously, but now let's mention some bands you want to recommend to our listeners.
Well, I think there's definitely something happening, but there's a lot of bands that are only studio bands at the moment, which is something I'm seeing happening a lot. But two bands we played with over the last few years that made a huge impression on me were Crown Court and Last Crusade. We played a show with Crown Court at the Fiddler's Elbow.
It's in London.
No, yeah, that's in Camden as well. And it was crazy. It was only 150 people. With those 150 people were there, like you could feel it through the whole room that something happened. All the monitors on the stage broke, and I was the one that organized the show, so I had to sort that. So that was the bad bit. But the whole show was crazy, and we played with Last Crusade in Tottenham just before they split, because two of the members were Canadian,
And they have some issues with the papers and
I don't know the full story, but I think it was something with visas, but they split just before they released the LP, and there was just the two records from both bands come out at the same time, and it was the start of something new, in my opinion.
Yeah, some Oi revival.
Yeah, you know, something was happening.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you choose the songs of these bands who represent late lately.
What's happening?
We will listen Crown Court, but their latest release, Mad in England. And we will listen Last Crusade song, Sick Society. But before that, Grey 2, it's not your only band in your punk CV. Tell us about it.
Just after we finished recording Break the Routine, we took a bit of a break from playing shows. We were waiting to build our new record. And I went down our local pub and met a friend of ours called Liam, who played in a band called the Dead Perrys. And when we first started the band, he was the one that basically gave us the opportunity to play a lot of local shows to build up just how to play live, how to play gigs. And he told me that he'd been working on a few songs, and I said that if you need someone to lay down a bass track, I'm not doing anything for the next few weeks. So we released three songs with a band called Weeks.
Yeah.
And that was under Contra Records and Time for Action Records as well.
Yeah, that's the German label who are into mod revival bands.
Yeah, that's the one.
And the sound here is like a mod revival meets melodic punk, something
like
that.
Yeah, it's got the punk elements, and it's a lot like the Jam, my opinion.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we will listen to Wick's song Getaway, and as I said, Crown Court Mad in England, and Last Crusade, Sick Society. Okay, stay with us. After this song, we will talk a bit more.
Get away this time. Get away. ljudi iz podzemlja.
Pop, sorry. Okay, we are back. That was the last crusade. Before them, Crown Court, and before them, Wix. We are still talk with the members of Grade 2, but this time not with Sid. Now we are talking with a guitarist of the band, Jack.
How you doing?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. In a nice company.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we are talking with Sid about a lot of things. He mentioned your, how to say, some success with US-based record labels. And I suppose thanks to that, you made a pretty long US tour.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was by far the longest tour we've ever done. So we started, late May. It was about 40 days in America.
Yeah.
And then since then, we went back to London and then we flew here. And so the tour is nearly over for us. But, that tour was absolutely mental.
So how many gigs you played on that tour?
It was a total of, 33? 34? 34, let's go with that.
Oh, so tomorrow you will sound like a machine.
Oh, yeah, I hope so. All will sound like you know, dead.
Yeah. You played a lot of shows, as we said, but one of the reasons or main show of the tour was that big festival, Punk Rock Bowling.
Tell
us something about that. I just saw the flyers and the lineup is... So fucking sick.
Oh my god, it was honestly the best weekend. For me, best weekend I've had with the band, and I think in my experience it was the best gig we've ever done, actually. Yeah. I thought the crowd was absolutely crazy. Like, it was our first time in Vegas as well. Yeah. So not only was it this amazing festival, it was our first time in Las Vegas. So it was just all in all just so overwhelming. And obviously it had Rancid, what was it, Stranglers. Was the Specials playing that year? Yeah, of course they were, yeah. And so when we played to a full crowd, couldn't even see the back of it. It was absolutely mental. And it was such a great weekend. It was brilliant.
Yeah, and it's not only that big stage, but there's a lot of the gigs were going all around the city, something like that. A lot of smaller shows.
Yeah. So we didn't go to any. We didn't have time to make it to any for that year. But I know Lion's Law and Rude Pride did little club shows, pool party shows, which looked really cool. I really wanted to go to some actually, but we couldn't make it. So I thought we were actually supposed to play one or two of those. I think that was the original plan, but we ended up, instead of doing the pool shows, we just had a couple of days off and just got to look around Vegas and have a good time, you know.
So you played a lot before US. Through the UK and through the mainland, main part of the Europe.
Yeah.
So, what you would say? What's the biggest difference with the European and US scene? Talking about concerts and concert organizations.
I don't know. I think the way the gigs get organized is a bit different compared to Europe to America. In Europe, you get looked after really well. It's not to say in America you don't get looked after. They're still really nice guys. They mean the best, but it's just a different way of doing things, you know. You'll be very lucky to get a backstage or any kind of drinks or anything like that, but that's fine. But for me, the thing I loved about America was almost every crowd loved a circle pit. That's just their thing over there. They do always, even if there's only two or three guys, they always go for the circle pit and just get everyone excited. Yeah. So that made playing to America so much more fun.
I know there in America there's a lot of for me it's about the strange issue that age limitations on the show. Some gigs are all ages, some are not.
I find that really annoys us because obviously we're used to. You know, like most countries, the age being 18 and over, and even then you can still get a lot of gigs you can get in under if you're only 16 or whatever. So okay, is a secret that I wasn't probably shouldn't tell, but I'm only 20. We just did this whole tour, and obviously most of the venues we're playing are 21 and over, so I had to use my brother's ID to get into these venues because I technically legally wasn't even allowed in, and I'm playing I just find it stupid that the age limit it just restricts so much. Imagine being 18 and not being able to go to a punk gig.
Blows
my mind.
And also you played a lot in Germany, Switzerland. There's a They have strong organization and I like to say logistics with that youth centers and everything. And you know, when you go into Berlin, there's I don't know how many clubs. Similar in France, they have nice clubs.
Yeah.
But in which types of the venues you played in US?
In US, well, it's kind of like dive bars. Like to be honest, it's just like really sort of like, you know, classic sort of rundown sort of punk bars. The kind that it's always a lot of fun though. Like those kind of venues, like they're the ones that you're going to remember because they might not be fancy, they might not get everything you want. The monitors probably don't work. The sound's probably going to be terrible, but they're always going to get the fun, you know, the fun experience out of it because it's just, you know, it's a laugh.
Yeah, that reminds me in Novi Sad in 90s were like that. You know, no youth centers, only, you know, some ordinary pub, and you're happy if owner let you play.
yeah, exactly. Like you'll be over the moon if you get a monitor that works. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. And what's your impression? Did the crowd was enthusiastic about you, or you were just one more touring band?
No, we actually got an amazing response. I must admit, I was blown away by it. Like, I'll be honest, not a lot of the shows, because we were touring, it's our first time in a lot of these cities. And a lot of these shows were on weekdays. It's quite hard to pull a crowd. So a lot of the shows we only had, you know, less than 10 people. It was a really small crowd. But every one of those shows, even if it was a small crowd, there was a handful of people that came up to us afterwards and said, I've been waiting to see you guys for how many years. Like, I thought you guys really impressed us. And like, that means the world to me when people come up to us and say, you know, how much they are, us playing in their town means to them. That is like amazing. Yeah. So all in all, we had a really great response. A lot of people like really, really appreciated us coming out. So,
One interesting thing that there were the veterans of the punk scene from some more known bands that were supportive to you. You played with the lower class brats
and of course,
old firm casuals, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the first time we came to America was in December last year, and they literally, old firm casuals and the lower class brats, were doing that tour with us. And they all did that tour just for us. Like, I'm pretty sure none of them got any profit out of it. They just did it so that we could get our name out there in America. And that is like another thing. But we're so lucky to have these guys. Are so kind that they would go out of their way to do a tour just for us to get exposure. Yeah. So it's crazy.
Okay, just mention a few outstanding places of the North America for
me. Chicago was my favorite city, like, hands down. I absolutely loved it there. I don't know what it was about it. It just felt kind of homely and like a really exciting city at the same time. Although I haven't seen the winter there, because apparently the winters there are like deadly. You know, this year was like the worst recorded winter there, or something, like minus 30 degrees, unbearable. So I couldn't go there in the winter, but I loved it there in the summer. Where else was good, Sid? What do you reckon? What's your favorite? Brooklyn, I thought, was great. Brooklyn was a lot
of
fun.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, we didn't get to see a lot of New York, because we got there in a big old van and tried to find parking in the middle of New York, and we spent about 3 hours in traffic, got nowhere, we just gave up.
Yeah.
So, but Brooklyn itself was like a lot of fun.
Dallas.
Dallas,
Texas.
Yeah. Right.
Nice.
Yeah, the venue there was really cool. It was the back of the venue was completely open, as in like it was open to the street, so everyone walking past could just see the punk gig going on. Yeah. So I thought that was sweet. Nice.
So recommend some bands to our listeners.
Some band from America?
Yeah, yeah, that you met on the tour.
We haven't done that yet, have we? So like
Dusters?
So Dusters we played with in New Jersey. Do you remember the name of the town? I can't remember. New Jersey. Asbury Park, and they were such cool guys, and they got such a cool sound. It's so hard. It's similar to Crown Court. They've got that vintage kind of rock sound. So they're amazing. And 45 Adapters from Brooklyn. Yeah. We've been fans of them ever since they released their first EP a couple of years ago. I can't remember when, but they're so cool. That EP, Patriots Not Fools, has got an amazing, unique sound.
Okay, so you choose there's two songs.
Dusters. What was the song, Sid?
Dusters, Marginalize Me, and 45 Adapters, Patriots Not Fools.
Yeah, Patriots Not Fools.
Stay a bit more with us. So, we are coming to the end, but we will talk a little bit, and then we will say proper goodbye. Okay, we are now listening to US bands as a choice of my evening guests, Great 2.
That's
Okay, that was 45 Adapters. What was the name of the band before them?
45 Adapters, and then it was Dusters.
Dusters,
yeah,
okay.
From New Jersey.
Okay. Now let's switch to Europe. What was your impression when you first time you came to Europe to play from that island?
Yeah. So our first time we ever played, I was only 15. So that was an experience. You know, I was only 15. The other two were 16, and we played in Essen, and like we just saw it just being kids. We just saw it as a party. We just thought, oh my god, we're gonna get to go to a foreign country to play music, and we're gonna get free beer.
Yeah.
So for the
and in Germany you have a lot of it.
and in Germany, so like, oh man, this was like the same story for the first 2 years of us as a band. We just every gig, we just drank all as much as we could, got absolutely hammered. I mean, I thought we played okay, but it was an amazing experience. But a lot of it we can barely remember because it was just such a party, and we just got hammered, man.
So you played a lot of festivals in Europe and a lot of countries.
Yeah.
So ask you about your favorite American places. So tell us in which places of Europe you feel like home.
I at home.
Yeah, or something like that. Received very well.
Huh. Berlin. Well, yeah. The place we've been to the most is by far Berlin. And yeah, that's the place I know I'm the most comfortable with.
Yeah.
But if I had to choose like my favorite place, it would be Athens. We played once in Athens.
In Greek?
Yeah, in Greece. Oh, yeah.
You play there?
Yeah. We played there 3 years ago. Uh-huh. Or maybe four now. It was a long time ago. Feels like a long time. And that was absolutely amazing. The city is absolutely beautiful, and the gig itself was really crazy because we were still, you know, there's just kids in this young band. And when we got there, there was almost everyone there was singing our songs, and they only just got released like a couple of weeks before.
Yeah.
So that to us was mind blowing. So the scene in Athens is amazing. The city is amazing. So that's my favorite place we played.
Okay, I suppose the audience there is not spoiled like some crowds in Europe, because not so many bands.
Yeah, I imagine
coming
so.
There, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But what place in Europe you would call like a center of the today's European scene? What's your opinion? Probably Berlin.
I think it would have to be Berlin. Yeah. I mean, Germany itself is where all the punk annoy is for us at the moment. Anyway, like that, when we first started, we played Germany so much more than we ever played England, our own country. Like we just would always fly over for the weekend to Germany, to Berlin, Hamburg, Dresden, wherever it was.
Yeah. Germany is most important for the scene.
Yeah. I mean, because the thing is, at the end of the day, they always pull a crowd, and the promoters in Germany always pay well. They always look after you. Yeah. That you know, it's a really good accommodation there. So,
That kind of approach about organization is working pretty well in Germany and Western countries. But tell us what are your favorite bands to share the stage and to listen European scene.
I mean, the classic obviously everyone loves is Lion's Law. Because they are the band that start kind of for me that I took so much influence from Lion's Law when we first started, because when we started the band, I was still new and learning a lot about punk, and I started listening to Lion's Law when I was like 15, and I just fell in love with their first record, A Day Will Come. I listened to it on repeat for, you know, every day for like a year probably. So those guys, massive influence for me, and they were the band that brought us over to Europe, and they let us support them in France, Germany, wherever else, and they helped start our career, man. So we owe a lot to them. But they're an amazing oi band. They've made a huge dent.
And that Victor is a crazy guy, you know, like how many bands he has. And I said, whatever he touches, you know, it became fucking gold, you know.
he really is. French oi is what he, like Victor. Yeah. He's a true legend. And like, has he started a new band again recently? I'm not sure. He's got Bremer. Ricks, of course, are doing amazing. They just went to Japan.
Before he had that Marabouts also.
Of course, Marabouts, classic there.
Yeah. Yeah, Faction S is a new band. Yeah.
Yeah, he is the face of French Oi, you know.
And that's a side project with guys from Portugal, Atalantes or something like.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. The guy, you know, if someone should leave, you know, of the making going music, it needs to be him, you know, just to record great stuff.
Too right.
Okay, and now, because we are coming to the end of the show, okay, we mentioned your plans. You just recorded new album.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on a Hellcat iconic label that released stuff of the bands like Dropkick Murphys, Rancid, Agrolites. We saw on the poster Joe Strummer and Mescaleros, you know.
I know. Honestly, we still can't believe it to this day. We're like, it's mind blowing to us.
So you're the part of the, some really, really serious story.
I know, yeah. We still have to pinch ourselves when we think about it, man. Yeah. Seriously.
So after that, I suppose you will tour more frequently.
Absolutely, yeah. The plan is to tour until we cannot tour anymore, really. Yeah. Like our manager said, we want you on the road 9 months of the year at least. So, no rest for the wicked, right?
So, when we the record should be out?
We know roughly. We're not sure if we can tell you exactly when, but it's going to be this year. That's all I'll say for now, because I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to tell you. But it's coming this year. It's on Hellcat Records. It's called Graveyard Island. We're allowed to announce that, at least. That's the title of the album. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, so we are close to the final words of the show.
Yeah.
What we said when you're playing tomorrow at Explosive Stage?
We play tomorrow at 2:30 a.m.
Okay, yeah. I suppose people are going to be there because there's many interesting names in the lineup.
Yeah, there is festival. Absolutely. Yeah. Chest Tubes, Booze and Glory, of course.
Yeah, it's gonna be nice.
Yeah,
And it was my pleasure to have you in this show.
Yeah,
tonight.
Thank you very much for having us, man.
Okay, and we will close the show with a song that you chose, band Hard Wax.
Yeah, Hard Wax.
Yeah, and the song Diamond in the Rough.
Yeah,
and
that's
okay.
The one.
Thank you guys, and thank the guys from Explosive Show, and greetings to our colleagues and other great radio show podcast from Serbia, Break the Silence. I received the greetings. Thank you, guys. And people who are listening to this, go to the Crni Jovan pub. They are celebrating first anniversary. Let's see you at the bar there. Okay, that was it. I samo vama da kažem, ljudi, slušamo se sledeće srede od 20 časova. To će biti poslednja emisija ove sezone, pa se malo odmaramo. To bi bilo to. Dakle, Hard Wax, i vidimo se sutra na Explosive Bini. Ok, bye.
Thank you, goodbye.